You know, the way we look at food production in the United States these days is really changing, and a lot of farmers want in on that change. In studio with me today, Tony Michaels. He's the CEO of Midwest BioAg. Yep, they're headquartered right here in Wisconsin. But I'll tell you what, they've got an exciting project that's leading them to meet new partners, new farmers in South Dakota. Tony, thanks for joining me in studio. I appreciate it. Tell me about this. 34,000 acres at Midwest BioAg, General Mills and a farmer are working on in South Dakota. What is the goal? How did this all get started?
Well, it all kind of started when we had a long relationship with General Mills, but about 4 years ago, they bought Annie's. And so Annie's organic mac and cheese, and they want to grow that business. And if you're going to grow that business, you got to have organic wheat, and it takes 3 years to transition. So they started looking really early on, where do we get more wheat? Where does it come from? How do we know where it comes from? And how do we know that it's farmed right? And so they came to us. We've been talking about this. We went out and looked for properties that were good for wheat, and this one came along, and we put the partnership and the organic farming model together. And, you know, starting last summer, we're transitioning 34,000 acres to organic.
So how do we transition? How is General Mills going about securing the inputs that they're going to need in 3 years?
Well, so they made a long-term contract. So they're buying wheat over the next decade or so from this farm at a known price. So I know my price, you know, 5-10 years from now for wheat, which that's really important when you're going to spend the money to transition. And what we basically do for a farm like this, you can't put chemical nitrogen on. So you got to grow your own nitrogen. And so the whole part of starting this transition, we don't try and fake it and grow some crop during transition. We're growing nitrogen, storing it in the soil that can come off as the wheat starting three, four years from now. And so it's all in cover crops, you know, legumes like alfalfa and clovers. We put in some oats and things as nurse crops. And we're just doing soil building for 2 years to get this ready for the kind of high profit, high production organic farming that's our model.
Cover crops do not cash out, shall we say. They do give you nitrogen. They don't give you a paycheck. So who is on the hook, shall we say, for the next 3 years in trying to grow that nitrogen that General Mills can't really buy?
Right. Well, so the farmers decided to make the investment in that. The analogy I use is if you buy a commercial building and you're trying to turn it into luxury condos, you don't buy the building, sell the condos, and then start the renovation. You buy the condo, you renovate it till the building, you renovate till it's perfect, and then sell the condos. And we're in that renovation phase where we're building soils, a farming system, training the farmers how to farm in this high profit model. And 2020 is when the first crops will come off that'll be organic. And from 2020 on, General Mills will buy the wheat. Other people will buy the hay and the peas and the sunflowers and the other things that are going to be grown on that farm. But that whole model has to come together in the plan, because the farmer has to decide, is it worth spending the money to do 2 years of soil building for all the money I'm going to make over the next couple of decades organic?
You've got an interesting analogy also on that nitrogen. Nitrogen is nitrogen, regardless of conventional or organic. But the view that Midwest BioAg has on that nitrogen and where it ends up is kind of interesting.
Right. Well, we feel if you're an organic farmer, you're a nitrogen farmer. And all you're doing with your crops is finding a way to make that nitrogen pay. And, you know, if you're a conventional farmer, it costs you 40 cents to put a pound of nitrogen on. And that's kind of what it's worth to grow a crop. But nitrogen is one of the big limits in organic farming. And when nitrogen comes off in a bushel of wheat or a bushel of corn, it's worth 10 bucks. And so we would never take a pound of nitrogen off a field that we farmed organic to sell conventional in transition. We're going to build it up, store it there, and it's going to come off as high protein spec. You know, this is now pasta. This is human wheat. It's got to meet a 12, 13% protein spec. That nitrogen's got to be in the soil. And so we are nitrogen farmers. We build nitrogen. Every time a crop comes off, we go right back into legume cover crops. We're building nitrogen and soil structure at the same time. And we're just monetizing it by the crops we take off.
34,000 acres, people are going to say, holy what? Now understand it's South Dakota where they farm in sections anyhow. So how are, I assume, all 34,000 acres, are they going to gradually come into production for General Mills? Are you segmenting how fast we introduce all those acres?
Well, not in this case. So most of, you know, we have 1 million acres that we help manage. About 40% of that's organic. And most farms do a little at a time kind of thing. You need a couple thousand is kind of the minimum size to really do these row crops and the high profit model we have. But in this particular case, bite the bullet. We're just converting the entire thing at once. We're planting the entire thing in cover crops. We're in the soil building crops. And then starting with the winter wheat in the fall of 2019, and then spring wheat, corn, peas, other things will go right into the organic model. But no, this is all at once. Now, it'll be a complex rotation. We'll have half a dozen different crops. We'll have cover crops every time there's open ground. It's a minimum till kind of a model because of the erosion issues. But no, this is bite the bullet and go all the way on this particular farm.
34,000 acres. I didn't ask you before we started this conversation, Tony, but has anybody estimated how many jobs that means for that farm and for the infrastructure that has to come along with it? You said you're in western South Dakota, and people have to understand if you are going to do food grade wheat, for example, that means your combine has to be certified, your semis have to be certified and verified, point of delivery has got to be certified and maintained. So that's a lot of jobs for western South Dakota.
Well, it is a lot of jobs, but you got to realize they were farming it, you know, conventional beforehand. And so this is also is part of the whole thing. The whole system has to work. And so when we do a farm like this, there are about half a dozen people that are sort of really dedicated to the farm. And a number of those are going to be skilled for the really key crops like corn, where the mechanical cultivation of weeds is something you have to learn to do well. But for planting wheat and harvesting wheat, but for the cleaning up and everything else, it's the same job as planting conventional and harvesting conventional. So we're going to be using some of the local contract sources for the wheat and for the hay and for some of these other things. So you want to sort of use as many of the skills there. It's a lot of acres, and if you got to manage everyone, that's a massive thing. And then think how many trucks it is, because we'll be a high yield. We'll yield better than the conventional crops did. You're going to have to clean out all these trucks, special trucks. We've got delivery points that are specific targeted delivery points for the wheat and the different grains. There's going to be a lot of jobs driving a lot of semis full of grains around the countryside.
So let's talk again. 34,000 acres going to catch some folks by surprise. Hard to get their arms around. But you said when it comes to this high production organic agriculture, you need to think to scale.
Right, exactly. There's sort of economies. Modern precision ag is really good for organic. You know, if you can lay a seed down within, you know, a fraction of an inch of where you want it to be, you can drive a cultivator a fraction of an inch right up next to the crops that you want to get the weeds rid of. So we have really sort of used precision equipment, which means it's expensive equipment. You got to have enough acres you're farming to justify the expense. A lot of these cultivation tools, we have four different ways that we manage weeds on just corn. Well, you kind of need enough acres of corn to justify the whole use of each of those pieces of equipment. We're using a little more equipment, a little more labor instead of chemicals and other kinds of things, and we're using biology for free. Our average organic farm yields at or above the conventional number, and their actual per acre costs are about the same as the conventional costs. You're just trading off, you know, labor for chemicals and things like that. But we get paid 2.5 times as much. And right. So you can sell. You know, we have a lot of people that are very interested in taking some of their ground organic because in today's world, when you're barely breaking even on corn and beans, it helps to get paid $9 for your corn.
You know, and that is going to pique a lot of people's interest. That's why I brought up the scale situation. Tony, you said that General Mills is not the only dog in this hunt, that there are a lot of food companies, maybe not quite so public with their intentions, but you believe that there are more opportunities like this for large acres in the future.
Not just more, it's growing exponentially. And so the General Mills is very, very proud of what they're doing. They're very public. They've made all these soil commitments and environmental commitments and things like that. So they really want to put themselves out there. But there's a lot more companies that are looking for how to create a supply chain. They don't like to sort of get out so public because, you know, you're always worried, what if something doesn't work out? What if you get a big hailstorm and your crops don't come from there and you got to get them from somewhere else? So there's a lot of issues that the big food companies are concerned with, but there's a lot of them that are in it. And when you think about when that Washington Post article came out about all those fake shiploads of corn and beans coming over from overseas, you don't want to be the company that's got all those things in your box on the shelf, and now you've got to deal with the publicity on that. So there's a huge demand for the crop because the customer wants it, consumer wants it, and there's a huge demand for crops we can grow in this country and that we can keep track of so we know where they came from, how they were grown, you know, the quality of the farming that was done, you know, and there are environmental benefits and other things they want to track through. But a lot of this is just people want to have food that's got good nutrition, they like organic. You know, how do they know that when they make a food product at a big scale, that the stuff in the box is what they say it is?
And with that being said, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask Tony, you are entertaining dialogue with like-minded souls out there. You know, like we said, you got to have the acres.
Right.
But if you've got the acres and you're curious, you are entertaining the conversations to try to put more groups together.
Exactly. We've done this for 35 years. We did this before there was organic. You know, we called it biological farming in those days. And a lot of our customers are big conventional farms that are just looking at, you know, $9 versus $3.50 for the corn. You know, it's worth doing. But what we didn't realize until more recently was that we also have sort of a matchmaking skill. And we have a set of relationships with food companies, people that want to convert some of their brands organic or that need to secure their supply chain. We have these, you know, relationships with 1 million acres of farms. There's a lot of big farms out there that are sort of looking, I'd love to try this, you know, even just to diversify. Let me take, you know, a few thousand acres out of what I do. Or people that are struggling at 1,000 acres and say, if I can go organic, make money. And so we've been doing a lot of matchmaking. We do a lot of hand holding on this to try and, you know, help people. There's a lot of things you got to learn that you didn't have to do before, but they're not really that hard. They're just things you have to learn. And there's more skill involved and less chemistry involved. But, you know, farmers are smart and they are skilled. And, you know, frankly, you got to work a little harder, but you make a lot more money. And so, you know, that's a good trade-off in most times.
Now, how would you suggest if they want to find out more about this? I'm going to talk to Tony again. You can bet on that in the future. But how would you suggest if people want to follow up and learn a little bit more about this? You know, maybe they are to scale. What should they do?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is to contact us. This is something where you got to sort of think and talk kind of thing. So Midwestern BioAg, you know, we got a website, midwestern bioag.com, and you can look up and call us. And we're in 41 states, but the bulk of what we do is really the upper Midwest.
Sure.
And so there's somebody around that can help. And we help conventional farms get more profitable. But the real big profit thing is these organic farms and sort of larger scale row crops, feed for poultry. And we started 40 years ago in dairy, and we have about 1,000 dairies that do what we do, some organic, some conventional.
And excellent.
You know, we love to help farms be more successful.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to join me in studio. Like I said, when I saw 34,000 acres, it piqued my interest knowing that General Mills is at the table, only furthered that night. Like I said, I'll catch up with you midsummer and we'll see how things are going in South Dakota. All right.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this today. It's been fun talking, and call me anytime.
I love talking.
Thanks.
Tony Michaels, he's the CEO of Midwest BioAg. And again, like we said, follow this project along. Does it spark ideas for your own farming operation or maybe several farming operations? Like he said, MidwesternBioAg.com can maybe get you connected with like-minded souls. Tony Michaels, in studio with me, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.